Tossed Popcorn is a production of iHeartRadio. Hi, I'm Sienna Jekyll.
And I'm Liana Holston.
And welcome to Tossed Popcorn, the podcast where two idiots watch every film on the AFI's 100 Greatest American Movies of All Time, the very slightly less racist 10th anniversary edition.
This podcast is a safe space for people who don't know anything about movies. Today, we're watching The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, I beg your pardon, but I've never heard of a beautiful witch before.
Only bad witches are ugly.
Number 10 on the AFI list.
Warning, there will be spoilers about this old little film.
So old and so little.
It was. It's got a short runtime. I would classify this as a small film.
Oh, yes. This is the first film under 2 hours on the list so far, I believe.
There's no way to know. I have no memories of the previous nine.
All right, shall we do our predictions?
Oh, yeah. Shall we listen to yours first?
Hi, Liana. It's Sienna. I'm here at my grandma's house about to watch The Wizard of Oz. I've seen this many times, but it's been a few years, so I'm excited to watch it with fresh eyes. I predict the little lady with braids is going to go on an adventure to find the elusive Wizard of Oz with three other whimsical creature teammates. Anyway, my grandma says that she thinks that the witch is going to get hit by a house, and I think she might just be right. Let's watch it. There's no place like this podcast. Love you. Bye.
Hit by a house is very funny. That's not how they describe it in the movie at all. Because the house lands on her. I feel like hit by the house implies that the house keeps moving after it hits the witch.
Hi, Sienna. It's Liana. I'm about to watch The Wizard of Oz. I haven't seen this movie in a long time, but I have seen Wicked. And I was in a very white production of The Wiz as a child. So excited to sort of travel down memory lane. One game I want to play with myself while watching is how many of the lyrics do I remember?
Oh.
It's good to keep yourself entertained. Uh-huh. Love you. Bye.
Oh, wow. Who'd you play in The Wiz, Liana?
I played Atta Pearl.
Okay.
I had a whole song called He's the Wiz. Sweet thing, let me tell you about the world and the way things are.
When's the last time you saw this movie?
The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I feel like the last time I saw it was on a VHS. So, you know, probably 15 plus years ago.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember like consciously seeking it out. I remember The Wizard of Oz sort of happening to me as a child.
I don't think I've ever seen it when I was planning to. It just always kind of appears. But I've seen the whole thing. That was one thing when I was coming into it, was wondering how much I actually remembered correctly. But I don't know how you felt. It was pretty accurate. I think I could have written all that down and it would have been right.
My big emotion the whole time was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Because there's so many silly, silly things in this movie.
Yes, it's going to be fun to go over what we didn't remember or what we noticed now as adults. I'm sure most people listening to this, other than our producer, have seen this movie.
Yeah. Shall we give our listeners who haven't seen it, aka our producer, a summary of the film?
Yes. The Wizard of Oz is about Dorothy, called Dorothy in this film, a friendless young Kansan with a cute dog named Toto. They're whisked away by a tornado and brought to the magical world of Oz, where she and a plucky interspecies crew travel to have their wishes granted by the legendary Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's
Can't
it, right?
forget the Wicked Witch of the West, of course. Her sort of psychological tormentor throughout the film.
A nice lady villain. Thank you.
I feel like people know what this film is, even if they haven't seen it. Everybody kind of just knows what happens in this movie.
Iconic symbols, you've seen them.
Oh, the lines, you've heard them. The songs, they're in your mind.
The characters, you've dressed up as them.
Even if you didn't know.
But is there any history surrounding this?
Oh, Sienna.
Huh.
I am so glad you asked.
She's sweating bullets of excited sweat.
We don't need to.
Shooting down.
We don't need to give them a visual of that.
Let's hear
Hello, everyone. The Wizard of Oz was released in August of 1939. There's a very fun article about this movie, I guess from Canadian Broadcasting, CBC Radio, whatever that
sounds fun.
And this article from 2009 on the 80th anniversary of the movie said, some facts you didn't know about the cursed film, The Wizard of Oz. I said, yes, please. And this film was a little bit cursed. The cinematographer of the film, Harold Rawson, said, we borrowed every unused arc light in Hollywood. It was brutally hot. People were always fainting and being carried off the set.
Honestly, it looks that way.
And imagine being in the lion onesie. I mean, how?
All the costumes, layers and layers.
So many layers. Everyone was in like a burlap sack with no breathing room. The actor who was originally cast as the Tin Man had such a severe reaction to the silver paint that he was hospitalized and had to leave the production.
Oh, that's the one fact I remember.
Oh my, it's a very fun fact. Not for him, but I love it. The movie was mostly directed by Victor Fleming, but then he left because he had to take over the troubled production of, guess which movie?
Did we watch it yet?
We sure did.
Gone with the Wind.
That's right. Ding, ding. You got it. The Scarecrow suit was made of asbestos. And this final cursed fact about the film is that Margaret Hamilton, who plays the Wicked Witch of the West, got third-degree burns during the melting scene when the fire that the Scarecrow's arm is on, when the Scarecrow's arm is on fire and Dorothy throws water on it, the fire didn't get fully extinguished during one take, and it caused, when she like melted and crouched down, she was too close to the fire, and it made her green copper-based face paint melt and burn her.
Burn her where? Like her face, her arms,
well,
or
that's,
what?
Yeah, her face.
Did she act after this?
Yes, but I think she took like a 3-month break from the movie.
Oh my gosh. So cursed.
I know. Very cursed film. Judy Garland, star of the film, Dorothy in the movie, was 16 during the filming. And this was the film that sort of catapulted her to stardom. In many ways, Judy Garland was Dorothy. You know, she was a Midwestern girl who got swept up in a whirlwind to a glittering land where not everything was as it seemed.
Okay, literary.
Thank you so much. Speaking of literary, this movie is based off a book, the 1900 book, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz by L. Frank Baum. He championed women's voting rights, and his mother-in-law was a suffragette. But, you know, that just never means that somebody wasn't racist. And he sure published some horrific anti-Native American rhetoric, like 10 years before The Wonderful Wizard of Oz was published. I am not going to read out most of this thing because it is so harmful to hear. But the least harmful sentence I can read you that sort of gets the point across is, he wrote, L. Frank Baum wrote, quote, the whites, by law of conquest, by justice of civilization, are masters of the American continent, end quote.
No. Bro. Oh, God.
Yeah. Legit terrible.
Big bummer. Big Baumer.
Nice. Very good.
Thank you.
It's just so hard to enjoy things once you Google people from the past.
GTK, you know, it's good to know.
But, and this is the thing that caused me to text you last night, a preemptive apology for how long I'm going to talk during this historical context section. I forgot that in 1946, a Columbia University-trained historian named Henry Littlefield published an article in the scholarly journal American Quarterly called The Wizard of Oz, Parable on Populism. Everybody should know this article is not like accepted as gospel, but it is a very interesting take on the book. So Littlefield interprets The Wonderful Wizard of Oz by L. Frank Baum, noted racist, as a metaphor for the populist movement of the 1890s and a critique of the nation's debates over monetary policy at the time. Populists in America were angry with bankers and business leaders. Not a hot take, TBH, sort of an eternal vibe. There was a severe depression from 1893 to 1896. And as a result, populists, who often were farmers or factory workers, wanted the country to adopt bimetallism, which meant that they would coin both gold and silver. Now, at the time, the gold standard was sort of the accepted thing and the thing that most people were arguing for. And here's where the metaphors begin. You know the yellow brick road in The Wizard of Oz? Bit of a direct connection between that and the gold standard, bricks of gold, yellow, gold. There you go. And the populists wanted silver to also be coined because it would have pumped money into the economy and decreased inflation, which is what the sort of free silver movement was about. and the ruby slippers in The Wonderful Wizard of Oz were not in fact ruby, they were silver at time of publishing.
In the book?
In the book. A couple, like, bummer facts about populists. What they wanted was, like, nationalized railroads, graduated income tax, and unfortunately decreased immigration. So, you know.
Okay.
The Emerald City equates to Washington, D.C., because that's where you end up to sort of, you know, resolve these issues. The Scarecrow represents the American farmer. The Tin Man, the American factory worker. The Cowardly Lion represents William Jennings Bryan. Was William McKinley's opponent in the 1896 presidential election, and he delivered the Cross of Gold speech in 1896, which was this famous speech. And if you remember from the movie, the Cowardly Lion receives a cross for courage at the end. The last thing I want to leave you with in this historical context segment is a very groundbreaking truth that I think is really going to change everybody's impression of this film, possibly forever. You know, I might be just sort of changing the course of history with this thing I'm about to reveal to you. Are you ready?
I am. I'm ready.
Toto is a woman.
Go on.
She's a Cairn Terrier named Terry. She's an incredible icon. She starred in 16 films over the course of her career and died at the age of 11. Her salary was $125 a week, which in 2009's money was $2,200. Now, that might be Canadian dollars because, again, that was from the CBC article, but still a lot of money. And I loved learning this because it's like, of course, Toto, the driving plot force of The Wizard of Oz, the reason anything gets done in the movie was a woman. Carrie and the team on her back the whole way through.
I had no idea.
I know.
I did actually write something down about whether this movie passes the Bechdel test, because pretty much whenever she talks to the good witch, Glinda, they end up talking about The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
Or when she's talking to the wicked witch, her villain, they're talking about a male dog.
Yeah.
But we just flipped the switch.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, thank you for that historical context.
You're welcome.
That's very fun stuff. Honestly, I mean, that theory could be seen as far-fetched, I guess, but also, like, so the alternative would be that he just thought of all this and wrote it. It's actually way more far-fetched in my mind.
Yeah, there's no way.
And that seems like one big political cartoon, which seems like the medium of the time.
Oh, yeah. People fucking loved a political cartoon back then. All right, girl. Well, shall we dive into our phone notes from this movie?
Yes.
For every movie that we watch, we take notes on our phones while we watch the movies, because we watch them separately from one another, and gather on this podcast to go over them.
So the movie begins, and I guess I'm going to do a little impression. I'll see if I got this right, because the beginning of movies are always hard for me, because it's hard to process information. It's a lot of information at once. Anyway, it starts out, and Dorothy is afraid that the witch lady is going to take away Toto, so she runs to her grandparents? Her aunt?
No.
Aunt and uncle? To which they respond, basically, Dorothy, don't bother us while we're counting our goddamn chicks. Is that about right?
I don't understand what their job is. I don't know what they were doing. Like, why do you...
Shut up. We're counting these chicks.
Everyone shut up. I gotta count the chicks. One, two, three. Oh, no.
Dorothy? Those sort of farmers. Whatever. And I guess they knew the tornado was coming, maybe?
I guess. And that's why they were counting them, so that if any got, like, swept away, they'd know how many they lost. Did you see when she just, like, plucks one out and starts holding it and carrying it around? I didn't see her put it down.
Where did it go?
Was it in her basket the whole film?
Maybe when she flew into the pig pen.
Oh, my God. That was one of my first moments of, like, oh, yeah! I forgot that she falls. Because it was, like, such a thing. And she's like, oh, no! Oh, I fell into the pen! And... Yeah. She falls like 1 foot and her ankle gets like a little bit caught in some wire, but she loses her damn mind. Also, like, Dorothy, you grew up on a farm. Like, why are you so put off by being near a pig?
That's the thing. I get the being freaked by a pig, but if that's your whole life, and those are presumably, again, her only friends, because the only people she's friends with are her aunt, her uncle, and the three
grown men.
Farmhands.
One very important note that I had pre-tornado is that I was very confused by this woman who owns half the county, a.k.a. the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah.
The options seem to be, when she comes to get Toto and she's like, I'm taking him to the sheriff. It seems like the options on the table are either Dorothy goes to bed without dinner or Toto gets destroyed? Is the verb that they used?
They said destroyed?
She was like, I'm going to make sure he's destroyed. And I was like, what? Also, it's why is the sheriff in charge of dogs?
And the only way to get this dog out of here is to put it in her basket.
In her basket and not latch it. Mm-hmm. But the important note that I have is that The Wizard of Oz is a very, very small one step away from being the film John Wick. Do you know this movie?
I know the movie.
The guy, Keanu's dog, gets killed and then he goes on like a revenge rampage. Yeah. And I think that's right. And if it's not, then this note does not apply, but I don't want to hear it. That's the only thing that separates the two. The only thing, the only difference between The Wizard of Oz and John Wick is that the dog lives. The Wizard of Oz.
I'll get you, my pretty. And your little ad break, too.
We'll be right back. So yes, Dorothy is awake and fine, and she's upset about her dog. She goes, she meets a man who tells her fortune. Mm-hmm. None of the beginning matters so much, and then she...
wait. But the thing about this scene, though, is that Dorothy meets a tall man who asks her questions about herself for like 2 minutes, and by the end of it, she's like, can I go with you to Europe? I was like, girl, same. We've all been there.
And then there's a tornado coming, and she's like,
a twister.
I should probably get home, I guess. And then her family, in the meantime, has been like, crud. Dorothy's not here, but we gotta close the doors of the cellar. Big bummer. I hope she's okay. Mm-hmm. And then she gets hit in the head when the tornado begins. Okay, the tornado scene is so cool.
Oh.
Those were badass special effects.
When she's inside the twister?
Just the special effects in general, the way that they created a twister was still very impressive to me. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, again, as someone who can't draw, I'm kind of just impressed by anything. So sure, but I wouldn't say it's like more impressive than other sort of drawing like situations.
Okay.
Because I think like special effects in the past was a lot of drawing.
I don't know. Liana is wrong. Liana does not understand film production at all.
But like storyboarding, you gotta draw those.
That's true. No, there was plenty of drawing in the past, but I would just say, like, I just want to make it clear. There was no, there's like, it's not like they drew lines.
Do you want to know? Here's how I think they did it. It was like stop motion and everybody had to draw the twister at a different like turn. And then you just play the papers really fast in front of the camera, like a flip book.
I'm not talking just about the image of a tornado. I'm talking about like the things flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
No, me too.
Okay. All right. Same page. All right. For anybody, I'm just going to talk to you, the listener, about this. Because, the tornado scene.
I've been kicked out of the room for this conversation.
She's not capable of understanding what I'm going to say.
Oh my God, you benched me from this podcast.
Dylan, you wanna come out here?
No.
He hasn't seen
the movie. Man, now I am sweating. That's not fair.
Anyway, the tornado scene, seems we can both agree, very impressive.
The twister.
This would have been a very frightening and thrilling experience if you were watching this in the theater and have not seen, you know, Marvel movies, stuff like that.
Okay.
It's pretty impressive production.
Now we're just roasting me. But I will say, I really did get actual goosebumps at the Oz color reveal when she opens the door and then the world, that was good. I don't know how they did it, but I was impressed. And this is what I've been wanting from every film on the list, is that it starts in black and white or sepia tone. Then they open the door.
If you haven't heard our past episodes, Liana has been waiting for all the black and white films. She has been waiting for the color moment, as this was sort of her understanding of the way that these films worked in the past.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for you that it finally happened.
Thank you.
And it's a good one. Yeah. Okay. So they arrive to Oz. One thing I like about this kind of thing, the way that they will sell something being thrilling and cool, is they'll have this at Disneyland. When you're supposed to be kind of feeling like you're on a ride, they will have, it sounds like women's voices, like.
I knew you were going to bring up the women's voices.
You did?
Yeah.
How did you know?
Because I noticed them and I was like, that's very silly. And Sienna's going to love that.
I do love it. I love it. It feels like being on a ride from the 50s.
Well, yeah. It feels like sort of housewife ghosts singing you into the next
sending
scene.
They go ahead and Glinda the Good Witch arrives.
In Munchkin Land.
Mm-hmm.
Glinda the Good Witch is my glitter origin story. I love her so much. Here's my thing about Glinda the Good Witch.
All right,
she really feels to me like your high friend that you're trying to get specific directions from at a party, but you keep losing them. You're like, no, we really need to go. Like, I don't know how to get there from here, and only you know, and only you can tell me. And she's like, ooh, I gotta go.
Yeah, and she only gives a few statements that are like wise and kind of her own logic. Okay, I really, really liked when, because you're right about her not giving good instructions. Dorothy was like, wait, but I thought I killed this witch, right? Because she's under that house over there. And she's like, oh, no. You killed the Witch of the East. The Witch of the West is way worse.
Yeah.
It was so menacing. She's like, no.
She's fucking terrifying. Glinda is a second villain.
She is. Because she's like, she's way, way worse. And also, I can't help you.
Yeah. She's got that terrifying sort of teacher energy of like, oh, that was due yesterday.
Exactly.
And you're like, what?
Exactly.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
wait, but can I turn it in now? No. I'm sorry. If I did that for you, I couldn't for any of the other students. I'd have to do it for all the students.
That's not the phrase. If I do it for you, I can't do it for any of my other students. Oh my goodness me. Well, shall we move on to her first friend of the film?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So Dorothy is following the yellow brick road, which for some reason starts in Munchkin Land. I don't know why, but she goes in a spiral of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, she follows the yellow brick road, and then she comes to a fork in the road. And of course, because Glinda gave her jack shit to go off of on terms of how to get to the Emerald City.
Wait, but what if there's a fork in the road? Follow the yellow brick road.
It's a four-way fork, too. There's four different, or guys, I guess, three directions she could go in. And she's like, where do I go? And then a sentient bag enters the scene.
Everyone knows a sentient bag.
I will say, like, I love the character of the Scarecrow. I think he's a very sweet, loving character. But the way that they dressed him, I was like, this guy would chase me in a cornfield with a chainsaw.
Yeah, I mean, scarecrows are scary.
Are you a crow?
Caw-caw! The thing I like just in general about this film and sort of the premise of making friends and meeting people and gathering this team in this movie is sort of that you come up to somebody and exchange a pleasantry or two, and then they tell you their biggest insecurity. It's like
it's like being in the women's bathroom on a night out.
Right. Yeah. And you're like, hi, can you hand me a paper towel? And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. It's so funny that you mention towels because I have mommy issues.
And then you're like, oh, my God, come with me. Come in my car. Let's go somewhere.
It's so crazy. I just like, it's nice to meet you.
Let's go to In-N-Out.
I'm barren. Do you want to hang out? What's your deal?
The other day on the internet, I saw that phrase emotional dumping, and I realized that I've been on a lot of dating app dates recently where that's all that the men do. Like, they just tell me about their traumas, and I'm like, my God, like, we are half a Moscow Mule deep. I drove 30 minutes for this. Like, I can't. Oh, my God.
Reading The Wizard of Oz, this movie, as an allegory for hinge dates.
It's just men emotional dumping on you, and you have to, like, she has to take them with her and be nice to them so that they don't murder her.
Going down the road.
The entire place wants to kill her.
You're meeting all the ones with different problems that you learn how to manage.
And then the final man that you meet, who you think is the one, is a complete disappointment.
Yeah, it was all fake.
You were getting catfished the entire time.
And then it turns out you just needed yourself the whole time.
Oh my gosh, this is the updated, this is populist movement no more. The Wizard of Oz is now an allegory for Tinder dating.
So she meets the Scarecrow, then she meets the Tin Man, and then she meets the Cowardly Lion. Mm-hmm.
She gathers her four friends, her three friends, and off they go doing their little footwork choreography. We're off to see the wizard.
Great dancing.
Everybody was a physical movement icon in this film. Sienna, now that we've met the three friends, my question for you.
No.
fuck, marry, kill
the Scarecrow. I had that question too.
Really?
That's what I was waiting to ask.
Yes. Okay, what's your answer?
Oh my gosh. I didn't even think about mine hard enough. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Oh my goodness. I'll tell you mine because I've been thinking about it all day.
Oh, okay. Yes, and please explain them.
I would fuck the Scarecrow because that guy is limber. And then I would kill the lion because his vibrato is genuinely scary to me. And then I would marry the Tin Man because I love a guy who has no emotions. That's my kryptonite. Just a man who's completely emotionally unavailable. Hello.
Oh.
Is for
but
me.
He ends up having a heart. He had the biggest heart because he wanted
yeah,
to
no,
feel.
It's very much like sort of the post. I think I could fix him. Like he gets fixed.
Yeah.
When I marry him.
I used to have a bit, like I didn't like the Scarecrow much growing up. Something about his face really freaked me out.
Sure.
And because I'm a crow. And but this time watching was tough because I liked him so much more now that
he's
I'm an adult.
He's a little bit hot.
Okay. And also when it goes back to them being human again, I mean, every single one was eligible.
No, that's not right. Every, of all three of them?
Yeah.
No, I only thought the Scarecrow in human form was, he's just so my type, like long and sort of sad. Tall and haunted, just how I like him.
He was pretty hot. I think I'd marry the lion because he's so entertaining.
Oh, yeah. This is also sort of the foundation of like all strong female friendships is that we don't have the same type.
Yes. Yeah, that is. It is indeed. I like to spend my time and want to spend my life with somebody I just find endlessly entertaining. The attraction is somewhat important. The entertainment is very important. And I think because of my childhood, I would have to bang the Tin Man and kill the Scarecrow. Though I'm sure he's very good.
I loved very much when they get to the poppy field and they fall asleep. And then somehow Glinda, very high again, emerges. And she's like, oh my God, hey, like, I can help you. And then she just makes it snow. And for some reason, that is what breaks the spell of them being tired. What are the odds that this snow is also asbestos?
That one should be sadder because it's probably true.
It's probably true. People were getting doused with asbestos in the past.
When we got to the poppy part, my grandma said, opium.
Yes.
Okay, then they make their way to the Emerald City, which, by the way, Seattle is sometimes called the Emerald City.
Oh, really? Because it's run by a big fake man? Yeah.
Yay. Got him.
Nice. The energy of them arriving in the Emerald City is so good. It's so funny. We got to start with this horse, right?
Oh my gosh. Another iconic horse. Oh. Without horses.
What was film?
Classic cinema would be nowhere. When they were trying to make a film, they'd be like, I need a camera. I need a horse and an actor.
And someone who can draw.
Yeah.
Yes. This horse, they call it the horse of a different color. And every time they cut away and then cut back to it, the horse is a different color. And I was like, oh my God, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Horse.
It was very cute.
I loved that horse. I was a little concerned. How do you think they got the horse to be purple?
Mm-hmm. And you got to wonder, so the horse changed colors, as Liana said. So they're probably different horses. And you just got to hope they didn't doom all three of them.
There's like almost no way they didn't not doom all three horses.
Yeah. I loved this song. I love someone inviting you into their house and being like, all right, welcome. Here's our energy. It's like this. Welcome to our house.
It really was good vibes only. Was that song?
Ho ho ho. I love a scene that's like an assembly line makeover.
Oh my gosh.
When they get all shined up.
I love that scene because I thought it was so funny that they couldn't see the wizard until they had all gone to the salon. They did not do that in Lord of the Rings. Oh my God, I forgot that I made a Lord of the Rings joke earlier in my notes, which is when, okay, somebody's going to like this. I don't know who, but this is for someone out there. When they get to the forest of like angry trees who throw apples at them and are talking, you know, in Lord of the Rings, I think it's the third one. There's the big trees that Merry and Pippin ride in.
Yes.
And they're called Ents.
Yeah.
Ent-Em. Ent-Em. I'm frightened, Ent-Em.
Tee-hee-hee. Ho-ho-ho. Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Glinda, where are you?
We'll be right back. Okay, the other thing about this Emerald City scene, after they go to the salon, Elphaba, the Wicked Witch of the West, has like zoomed out of her castle on her Nimbus 2000 and she shows up to the Emerald City to threaten Dorothy. And I was like, skywriting is such a slow way to make a threat.
That's so
she
funny.
She spells it one letter at a time. And there's definitely a time jump because she says like surrender Dorothy is what she spells out, but they only make it to S-U-R-R and then they cut to them saying, oh my God, surrender Dorothy. How long do you think they had to wait?
We thank God they didn't notice it before. Can you imagine if someone's like, oh, look, S.
It's also like, by the time she got to Dar, they probably were like, we got it. Like, we know who you are. You don't have to finish. Oh, she's going. She's still going. Okay.
There's one guy in town named like Darthum. And he's like, please, no, please, no, please, no, please, no. Like,
woo! This keeps happening.
I must quickly depart or must quickly swing backwards. And when I saw the trees, I did wonder if you were into them because they were the tallest characters in the film. Wondered if you were into that.
I was just thinking about my really good Lord of the Rings joke, I think, during that scene. Too much so to feel like spicy toward them. They weren't animated in like a hot way, though. It's also,
no, they were not.
I just couldn't get over that. It was so clearly like a person in sort of a rubber tree tube. Because you could see them like bouncing up and down.
One thing I have to say that I haven't said, this movie entertained me. Like that's those little things, like being able to see somebody in a rubber suit going like, is actually pretty, it catches the eye. It's not a bad thing to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we talk about some of what Elphaba like has going for herself in her life?
Okay. I actually have a lot of notes highlighted in green for this very purpose.
Amazing. At the very beginning, before we even see her as a witch, when she's like biking to work, you're already like, this woman has her life together.
Environmentally conscious queen. Absolutely. She owns half the county. She's a woman in business.
Yeah. And then her own castle.
Her own castle. Other things I wrote down from the witch. She had some really iconic lines in this film. I can't remember what she's referring to in this scene, but she says the line, you call that long?
Queen?
I was like, icon. And when she's threatening the Scarecrow and the Tin Man, she's like, I'll stuff a mattress with you and I'll use you as a beehive. I was like, oh my God, recycling queen.
She is recycling queen.
Elphaba is so good to the environment.
Honestly, that makes sense.
Also, her castle seems like very environmentally sustainable.
Yeah.
Seems well insulated.
Right. Oh my gosh. Also, when they arrive to Oz, they have to walk through an enormous green vagina.
Yes. And some additional sort of vaginal imagery or wording.
Yannick.
The man with the really puffy hat and the muffs, the hand muffs. That was my other, oh yeah, moment from watching this. Because I really remember. I love a muff. You heard it here first, listeners.
I actually used to, when I would draw, when I was a kid, I would always draw my characters with hand muffs on.
I would always draw them with no hands. Like their wrists just joined.
You wouldn't have to worry about it if you had a muff.
I don't think I could. I don't think I could draw a muff. There's almost no way. Man, Standards and Practices is going to have a field day with how many times we've said muff on this episode.
I would hate approaching Oz. He is so scary. This is very much like the energy of the scary teacher thing when he's like, yes. All right, come up. And if you have to be confident and tell me what you want.
And he's got that teacher energy of like, I'm asking you a very pointed question and there is a right answer to it. And if you get it wrong, you're going to think about it for years.
Yeah. Speak up. Speak up.
Also, his hallway was so long.
When did the Scarecrow get a gun?
Okay. I was hoping you also saw the tiny gun.
What the hell? This movie has been whimsical. They've been throwing apples. The Tin Man turned into a Tin Man. And all of a sudden, Scarecrow's holding a revolver. It's just a gun.
But it seems like it's maybe made out of rubber because it's kind of a blink and you miss it moment. But he waves it and it wobbles.
Okay, that scene, they're like walking through the forest or something at that moment where they have these weapons. And this also contained the one very just unexpected laughter, which was when the flying monkeys come through and they lift up the Tin Man and then he plummets to the ground.
Because he's like, I don't believe in the spooks.
He's like, I don't believe in the spooks. Oh!
It's like how people falling out of the bottom of frame is always funny. People falling into the top of the frame is as hilarious.
So funny. Oh, God. That was real fail army. Fail army. Yeah. Sweet. So next is our segment, Badges and Trages, where we award badges, things that we really liked about the film, or trages, things that we found tragic that made us not enjoy the film as much. Mm. So some badges for me. I'm just going to go through them all, and there are quite a few.
Ooh.
Badge for creating a sense of wind and movement through 1940s ladies singing.
Yes.
Ooh, big points for an oil can, one of the best objects that exists.
Wait, what makes you so pro oil can?
I'm actually surprised I have to explain this. I thought this was thought everybody agreed that oil cans are the best.
Do you oil things a lot? I have never encountered an oil can.
It was an image that was present in my childhood a lot, probably with a Tin Man and playing putt-putt games
putt-putt?
And stuff.
Like mini golf?
No, putt-putt is a computer game about a little car. Shouts out. Points for being able to tell the characters apart and remember their names.
Yeah.
This is the blueprint.
Every film in the past should start a character's name with an adverb and then whatever they are, you know?
Exactly.
Like Casablanca could be like Shitty Rick.
That would help! Shitty Rick. This level, you might think it's ridiculous. This is the level I need to actually be able to process a film, is have it really clear. They all look completely different species, whatever. Mm. Ooh, points for being under 2 hours long. There's a badge. That is a good badge.
Mm-hmm.
And then points for the pacing and just the entertainment value per minute, like per second. It was a good watch. And that's all I can say.
This film moves.
Yeah, it moves. You up.
I got to give a badge for horse names because before the twister comes, Aunt M refers to two different horses on the farm. And one of them is named Sylvester and the other one is named Hickory. And these are incredible horse names.
Those are really cute. Those are good.
A badge for that witch laugh. I mean, Margaret Hamilton shouts out. She owned that shit and didn't seem embarrassed about it at all. I was very impressed. I got to give a badge for glove costuming because there's actually so many gloves in this movie. Did you notice that the Tin Man's hands were rubber gloves?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I was really staring at them for a while.
The costumes in general. The costumes in general.
Obviously a badge for those goddamn slippers. They were so sparkly, and I loved them.
Those look good on you.
I know. A badge for pyrotechnics when the wizard is revealed. And I do quickly have to immediately give a trage for the direct moment after that, which is that the wizard looks like Megamind.
He does look like Megamind.
He looks exactly like, he looks Megamind, a lot like Megamind, but green. I gotta give a badge for a tiny gun, of course.
Yes.
And then a badge for the way everyone pronounced Dorothy. Dorothy.
Dorothy.
Dorothy. Or when Aunt Em is looking for her before the twister and she's yelling to the farmland, Dorothy!
Wait, are you ready to move to trages?
Yeah, wait, well, yeah, okay.
No. This is really funny. I actually didn't remember what I wrote for trages because I really had only positive things to say about this movie, but I could muster a trage, which is that as a child, I really hated how they said her name.
No! So
now I can appreciate it more as charming, but as a kid, I hated it. I detested it.
Why?
It's, it's Dorothy. It's not Dorothy. That's such an ugly sound.
Wow.
Dorothy.
Very regionalist of you.
I know. As a child. Ugh. Anyway, that's the only thing I can say is I did have that.
Your only trage is that as a child, you didn't like how they pronounced a name.
It's my only trage.
Dorothy. I love it. Right. I wish somebody would summon me that way on a farm. Dorothy. I got to give a trage because when Dorothy gets knocked unconscious and falls asleep, this was a formative thing for me because when she is unconscious, the way that she looks is how I think I look when I am asleep, which is just like gorgeous and coiffed. And so whenever I'm like sleeping near other people, I'm like, oh my God, how lucky for them that they get to sort of be experiencing this stunning woman with pigtails. But it's not, it's so unlikely that it's like that in real life. I gotta give a trage for terrifying wigs. Absolute nightmares of wigs and even worse mustaches.
Which wigs?
Which wigs? Oh, almost every single wig in the film.
Oh.
The wigs on the Munchkins, the mustache on one of the gate guys.
All of whom just were played by the Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
What?
The guy who played the Wizard of Oz played all the guys they talked to pretty much the whole time.
Wait,
Wow, sounds like that was actually a pretty good wig.
Terrific. Okay, listener, we're now going to do you a mahoosive favor, which is we're going to tell you a few sentences you could say to pretend you've seen this film in our segment, How to Pretend You've Seen This Film. This is for you are at the ballet and Dennis has approached you at intermission. Between acts one and two, of course, there's a third act as well. It's the ballet. And he's bringing up The Wizard of Oz saying, oh my goodness, that scene in the ballet really reminded me of the ballet in The Wizard of Oz. Do you remember it? Here are some sentences you could say to Dennis.
Listen, Dennis, I know that a lot of people who aren't as intelligent as us, film buffs, might think that this movie is fun because of the childlike whimsy. But we both know that the gritty, populist undertones are really what makes it a great film. And that's why I'd like us to go to our own separate places in the world and think about them separately.
I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again. She's John Wick in a wig.
Okay, Dennis, let's go ahead and get that mask up because we're in a sort of theater space. Thank you. You know, I've heard that Pink Floyd album can be played, or maybe the song Dark Side of the Moon can be played and sync up with his entire movie. So I'm going to go do that now in a separate room, separately.
Dennis, I know this might be crazy, but you're tall and you asked me a question, and do you want to go to Europe?
Next up, we have another very helpful segment for you all, which is a little segment we like to call Should You Watch This Or?, in which we tell you if this movie is worth watching or if it's better to do anything else with your time. Liana, where do you fall?
I actually don't have a strong opinion. Here's what I would recommend.
We'll watch it from Liana. Anyway, go on. I mean, wow.
Stop putting words in my mouth. The absence of a don't watch it is not a watch it. And that is a lesson in consent for you, Sienna Jekyll.
No, I need to take it back again. I have to do a bad job. You take it all back?
I would say if you're going to watch The Wizard of Oz, you got to watch the whole sort of Elphaba cinematic universe. You know, you got to watch The Wizard of Oz. You got to see The Wiz performed somewhere. And then also, of course, you must see Wicked as well. Mm-hmm. All of them very formative. All of them very different. All of them very interesting to watch.
That's true. I think that's good. Also,
thank you.
I think it would kind of enrich the experience of the others to know the original.
The source material.
The source material, exactly.
Sienna, how about you?
Yeah, I'd say watch this movie. You know, I mean, if you've seen it before, I don't think you have to watch it. If you've never seen it before, Dylan. Our producer, I think you probably should. I just think it's a nice watch. What I would say is when this first started, I thought it might end up being boring because I have seen this movie before as a kid a bunch, so I wasn't sure what to expect. But if it's going to be on, if it's playing in the background on like Halloween or some day where you're doing something else and it comes on, I would say let it play because it's actually quite delightful.
Yeah, terrific. Sienna, what would you rate this film?
Drum roll, please.
Ooh.
Because this film from Sienna Jekyll, well, I didn't make the film. The rating for this film from me, Sienna Jekyll, is 5 out of 5 oil cans.
Whoa!
This is the first full points I'm given.
5 out of 5 what?
Oil cans.
Oh my God. So this did everything for you.
It's not even that this is like my favorite movie in the world. It just did it all. Yeah, it checks off all the boxes. I did not have a problem with this viewing experience. If this is what movies all were, I would like movies.
Wow.
Yep.
I would give this film 3 out of 5 muffs, and okay. I would give it 3.
Yes.
I would give it 3.
A fair score from Liana.
It's got to lose a full 1 because the author of the book was so very deeply racist. And
No, that's really fair.
And had invoked a lot of very violent rhetoric against an entire population. And then I got to ding at another one because I did enjoy watching it, and I did appreciate that it was short compared to the other films we've watched. Mm-hmm. But still, the whole time, I was like, what is this? Like, this is crazy. It's a movie.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine being a full adult today and watching this film and being like, that's a film. I have no follow-up questions. It still feels a lot like a fever dream.
Definitely, which I think is kind of my ideal sort of film.
Mm.
A fever dream that isn't all dance, that's like actually kind of entertaining to watch. I'm like, I could be into that.
Yeah. Well, that's it, everyone, for The Wizard of Oz. Somewhere
over the rainbow.
Bloomberg.
Thank you for listening to this.
That's right.
This has been Tossed Popcorn. Come back next week for number 11, which is City Lights.
Whatever the fuck that
I don't know what that is, but it's gotta be something.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Please feel free to, if you liked this podcast, rate us 5 stars and write a nice review. You can listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, the iHeart Podcast app, or wherever you find podcasts. And we are on Twitter and Instagram at Tossed Popcorn. Thank you so much for listening. We love you. Bye.
Bye. You can find us on Instagram as at Sienna Jekyll and at Liana Holston. Please check the description for the spelling of our dumb names. We put out episodes every Tuesday, so make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. See you next week on Tossed Popcorn. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check the iHeartRadio app.